Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I want to share with you a story here. The setting is right near the end of World War II, and there was a general and his young lieutenant that were boarding on a train in England. And when they got on the train, there was only two places left, and they were across from a beautiful young lady and her grandmother. And so they sat down, and they're facing each other, and as the train pulls out of the station, there's this long tunnel that it has to go through. And as it goes through the tunnel, there is this brief moment, about 10 seconds, of complete darkness. You can't see anything. And what happens is everyone on the train hears two sounds. You hear a kiss, and then you hear a slap, okay? Now, everyone on the train had their own perception of what took place. The young lady is thinking to herself, I'm flattered that this handsome young soldier gave me a kiss, but I'm embarrassed that my grandmother slapped him. The grandmother's thinking to herself, I'm appalled that that young man kissed my granddaughter, but I'm so proud that she had the courage to retaliate. The general is thinking, man, my lieutenant, he's got some guts to kiss that girl, but I don't understand why she slapped me by accident. There's only one person on the train who had an accurate perspective of what took place, and that is the lieutenant, who saw an opportunity to kiss a beautiful young lady and slap his general at the same time. How many know we need an accurate perspective on life, huh? This morning, we are on our series, which is our theme for 2022. And our series is, do you remember what it is? Lead. It's one word. And so we want to welcome you to that. Those of you watching online, thank you for joining us today. And if you missed last week, you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life. Go to the watch tab and you can pick that up. But we're talking about leading. God wants you and I to lead in 2022. That's the theme God has laid in my heart for us, that we need to lead. And here's the thing. Many of us have a wrong perspective. Just like the people on the train, we don't see the proper perspective of what leadership is. And so for these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to lead so that we can have an accurate perspective and apply that to our lives. God wants you and I to lead. We talked about last week how Christians are to imitate Jesus. I think all of us would agree with that statement, that Christians are to imitate Jesus. Well, Jesus assumed two positions. First, he assumed the position as a lamb, and he followed God. He followed God. He obeyed the will of God and did whatever God wanted him to do. But in addition to that, Jesus was also a shepherd where he led other people to God. And since we are to imitate Jesus, we are to do the same, where we need to be like sheep and follow God, but we also need to be shepherds and lead others to God. And so if that is our calling, is to follow and to lead, a lot of us maybe know how to follow, but we really don't know what it means to lead, because we think of leadership as something that a person in authority does, that if I'm a manager, if I've got people to manage and to supervise, then I'm a leader. If I have a position of leadership, then I'm a leader. But what we don't realize is that we lead in many arenas, not just on the job. And leading is part of every Christ follower's calling. And so this morning and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take the word lead. We're going to break it down as an acrostic. And they're going to teach us four things that we need to know about leadership. So today we're going to look at the letter L, and if you take out your study notes that you received when you walked in, one of the greeters handed you the worship program, or if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to YouVersion, go to the events page, look for Radius Church, and our sermon notes are right there. But the letter L stands for learn. The letter L stands for learn. If we're going to lead, we need to learn. Leaders are learners because they learn and they grow. If you and I are going to be effective at leading people in a relationship with God, leading people to having a great marriage, to having a great future, of just living the life God intended them to be, then we need to lead ourselves and learn and grow. I'm going to share with you four lessons on learning this morning. The first lesson on learning, number one, is learning is a lifelong process. Learning is a lifelong process. Whether you're 9 years old or in the ninth grade or 90 years old, we never stop learning. We need to be lifelong learners. We see this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Our learning needs to be increasing. As we continue to learn more, we will grow more. You think about it, it's when you learn something that enables you to grow. And learning is to be a lifelong process. We see this with the Apostle Paul near the end of his life when he wrote to his young mentoree, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And if you want to turn there, 2 Timothy is believed to be the very last book that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote it around 67 AD, right before Nero executed him. Paul is in prison. We know this from the letter itself because we see in chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 2, verse 9, he mentions that he's in chains, suffering trouble as an evildoer. He goes on to say that in chapter 4, verse 6, this is his attitude as he is facing imminent death before Nero executes him. This is his attitude. He says, verse 6, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." So Paul's near the end of his life. Now look five verses further at verse 13, and look what he says to Timothy. He says, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come." Maybe it was cold and he wanted the cloak to wear. But then he also says, "And the books, especially the parchments." Even though Paul's life was almost over, he wanted the books that he'd read, the books that he studied. He wanted the parchments. Maybe there were parchments from other Christian leaders, or maybe there were things that he'd written down as he heard other people teach, or things that the Holy Spirit revealed to him as he studied the Word of God. But he says, "I want the books and the parchments." Why does he need them? He's about to be executed. I believe there was two reasons, and they're both tied to learning. One, Paul wanted to look at these revelations that God had showed him before, just to refresh the truths and to build him up and strengthen himself in the faith. But then also, maybe, because he wanted to take these books and parchments and give them to Timothy. When Timothy brings them, Paul looks at them and then Paul says, "Here, these are the things that have really helped me in my life. They've helped me in my ministry. They've strengthened my faith. And now I'm giving them to you so that you can learn and you can grow." Paul was always looking at how he could learn and how he could help other people learn. He was a lifelong learner. And so learning is a lifelong process. We need to keep growing. And to keep growing, we need to keep learning. Invest in your personal growth. Invest in learning, all right? We need to be a people that love to learn. The second lesson about learning I'd like to share with you today is that learning helps us grow so that we can help other people grow. Learning helps us grow so we can help other people. My daughter Elise got her driver's license just this last September, all right? Now, before she got her license, the year before, she got her learner's permit. And after she got her learner's permit, we just didn't turn her loose on the road. We came up to the church parking lot. In fact, actually, she was kind of driving in the parking lot when no one's around. I want to specify that. Before she had that, and when she first started driving, it was like, it's just drive, you know, learn how to accelerate and stop, and to do it in a smooth manner. Not to do burnouts in the parking lot, not to slam on the brakes and leave a skid mark, but how do you accelerate, how do you brake? And it was just learning how to handle the car, how to turn in circles. And I remember there was times she would just drive in circles, going around and around and around. She was learning how to drive. And then when she got her permit, it's like, this is getting to be a little more practical. So now we've got aisles here at the church. Let's drive on the right side of the aisle as you go down, and then practice turning, do your turn signal, and turn into the right aisle. We practice diagonal parking on the back side of the church. We practice parallel parking on the side and perpendicular parking, the straight in out front. Hey, the church is a great place to bring your kids for driver's ed, okay? You'd be surprised how many times we see people, you know, with their parents and their kids up here in the church parking lot just driving around. Here's the thing. I taught my daughter how to drive, but the reason I could teach her how to drive when I knew what to do on those things is because 40 years ago, somebody taught me how to drive. And many years before that, somebody taught him how to drive. You see, when you learn how to do something, then you can impart that to someone else and you can help them. And it's not just driving. You see, all of us are leaders. All of us have done this before. How many of you have potty trained your kids, for those who are parents? All right, you have taught your kids how to do that. How many have taught your kids to eat their vegetables? Do you realize that for you to teach them that, you got to do it yourself? Yeah, you know. That's why they don't eat them. I'm not eating them. Okay. But no, as you learn, you can help other people to grow. And Paul knew that. In fact, in this second letter to Timothy, he reminds him to teach other people, help other people learn how to do something, who will pass it on and help others learn. In 2 Timothy 2:2, this is a great way to think of this. 2:2:2 Timothy, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it's the same letter where he's just talked about bringing me my parchments and my books. He says, all that you've learned from me, deposit in the faithful leaders who are competent to teach the congregations the same revelation. As you and I learn and grow, we can pass that on and help other people learn and grow. All right, so that's the second lesson of leadership. The third life lesson of leadership is that being teachable is key to learning. Being teachable is key to learning. And we see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. As you read chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, you will come to understand that there is a young man, his name is Uzziah, and he becomes king at the age of 16. Can you imagine that, being 16-year-olds and being king? I know some 16-year-olds in their homes who think they are king, but they're not, all right? But no, he becomes king at age 16, and there was a mentor in his life, Zechariah, and as long as Zechariah was alive, Uzziah followed God. He sought the Lord, and as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. It says in this chapter, he has lots of livestock. He had lots of farmers working for him. He has vineyards, and he's built towers for defense. He has an army of over 300,000 men. And get this, it also talks about he made inventions for war. It talks about he made like these catapults with arrows, and they would fling arrows at the enemy. God gave him this creativity. As Uzziah is seeking the Lord, he's becoming strong. He's becoming established. He's powerful in battle and in warfare, and God marvelously helps him until he's strong and his fame becomes widespread. But once he becomes successful, something changes in Uzziah. Look at verse 16 of chapter 26. When he was strong in his heart, was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Kings of Israel were not allowed their own private temples. nor were they allowed to enter the Holy of Holies in the public temple. Now, this was different from all of the surrounding nations because the common Near Eastern belief was that the most significant person in the community should be the one who would represent the people before the God. The Egyptian kings were considered embodied gods and had responsibilities for religious rituals. The Mesopotamian and Syro-Palestinian leaders were seen as both vice regents of their patron deities as well as their high priests. Uzziah, by entering the temple and offering incense, was trying to act like all of the other pagan kings around him. Now what happens in verse 17? Azariah the priest goes in after him. It says he went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." So I want you to picture this. He goes in to the Holy of Holies. He's offering incense, and the priests, 80 of them, say, "Stop it. Get out of the holy place. You shouldn't be here." He's got a split-second opportunity to hear what they're saying, to listen, or to reject it. And is he teachable? Does he hear the advice of these 80 godly men? No, he does not. Look at verse 19. "Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, besides the incense altar." He was unteachable. They were trying to tell him, "Look out!" I believe if he would have repented and says, "You know what? You're right. I'm wrong." And he would have walked out. God would have forgiven him. That he would have not contracted leprosy. But he had leprosy until the day he died because he was unteachable. You couldn't tell him anything. When we have this attitude that I know better than anyone else, I'm the final authority, friends, we're setting ourselves up for destruction, just as Uzziah did. We cannot be learners if we do not have a teachable attitude. And so, to have a teachable attitude, we need to be willing to listen to what other people say. The Bible talks about there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We need to surround ourselves with godly people and go to godly people. We need to have people who speak into our lives and listen. Listening is one of the greatest ways to learn because people have experiences and perspectives that we don't have. They've gone through things that maybe we haven't gone through. Sometimes they've had successes and they can say, "This is what I did, this is why it worked, and it can help you." Sometimes they can say, "This was my mistake, don't do this." And you see, this isn't anything. It's in finances. You can learn finances from someone who knows how to handle finances. But that person, they probably learned some things along the way. And they had to be teachable in those financial lessons. We need to be teachable, whether it comes to finances, whether it comes to parenting, marriage, our spiritual life, learning how to pray. We need to be people that are like sponges and saying, "God, teach me. I want to hear from other people." We learn by listening. We learn by listening. So those are three lessons. Let's review them. What's the first lesson of how we about learning? Learning is a lifelong process. Number two, what's that one? We learn so that we can grow ourselves and we can help others. Number three is that being teachable is key to learning. All right? Number four this morning, the final lesson about learning is that learning takes energy and effort. Learning takes energy and effort. I mentioned earlier how my daughter Elise got her driver's license. She just didn't sit in the car and pull out one day and pass her driver's test. There was a lot of energy and effort that went into that. She had to study the manual so that she could get her permit so she could learn how to drive. She went to driver's ed. She sat behind simulators. She went out with the instructor. She read the books, the textbooks, and all the things that they had to do and answered questions. She took tests. And then we went out together and we applied it. And I don't know how many times we went parallel parking downtown. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of time and energy and effort invested in that. And friends, if there's anything we want to learn in life, it takes energy and effort. We have to apply ourselves. We're just not going to grow by sitting around doing nothing. You don't learn how to handle finances, how to invest, how to budget if you don't learn and study about it. We don't learn how to pray on our own unless you maybe read books or you say to someone, come here, teach me, let me be with you while you pray, let me hear how you do it. We need to be people that invest in the process of growth in our lives. And sometimes we can get lazy. We can get lazy. I want to challenge you at the beginning of 2022 to begin to apply yourself and make this year a great year of growth because you're learning in the areas that God wants you to learn about. In your notes this morning, it says, don't be a coaster Christian. Don't just coast in your faith, but be diligent. Choose diligence over drifting in your discipleship. When it comes to being a disciple, don't just drift and take it easy, but apply diligence, all right? Now, in the time that we have remaining, I want to share with you some things that God wants us to learn. These are things that are found in Scripture. When I did a word search this week on learn in the Bible, these were the things that I saw. God said, I want you to learn these things in your life. So how many are ready to see what God wants you to learn? Okay. Are you sure? Because you will not like what you hear. Okay. The number one thing God says you need to learn is you need to learn to love the Dallas Cowboys. No, I'm kidding about that. Need a moment of comic relief there. No, all right. As we go through these, whether you're here live or online, I want you to just have this attitude of saying, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what you want me to learn this year. I want you to have this teachable heart. Maybe it's something you would say, ooh, I don't want to do that. Or maybe it's something you're going, oh, yeah, I need to. Whatever it is, just have a heart that says, oh, God, yeah, I want to learn. And let God speak to you about what he wants you to learn this year, okay? Let's look at number one. First of all, before we get to that, I just want to share this, that our world around us is full of fear, isn't it? There is so much fear. People are fearful of the pandemic. They're fearful of the economy. Here in Wyoming, there's kind of fearful about the energy sector. People are fearful that we're losing our freedoms from the government. And there's so many things people are fearful about. And fear is crippling people, and it's preventing them from really becoming the learners and the leaders that God wants them to be. Don't let fear grip you. It's Paul said to Timothy, and it's in that same epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Friends, we are fearing everything except the one thing we need to fear, and this is the first thing that in your notes this morning, we need to learn to fear the Lord. That's what we need to learn to fear. We need to learn to fear God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 says, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. God said, you learn to fear me. It's not, boom, it just happens, but it is a learning process, that they may learn to fear me, oh, whenever they want to. Is that what it says? No. All the days they live on earth, and that they may teach their children. We need to learn the fear of God, and we need to teach our kids to learn to fear God. At least 96 times in the Bible, the fear of God or the fear of the Lord is mentioned. And in all of those references, it's talking about how we need to fear God. And in five of those times, five specific times, God says, learn the fear of God. Learn the fear of the Lord. What's interesting? When you look at what God says to learn in the Bible, the fear of the Lord with five references is one of the most mentioned things that you and I need to learn. We need to learn the fear of God. Now, when we say fear of God, what does that mean? Does it mean we're afraid of Him? I mean, it's sometimes a kind of an abstract term. And so I just want to help us break down what it is. We learn what the fear of the Lord is from reading Scripture. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7 and verse 9 says, "Let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. Thus you shall act in fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart." In your notes this morning, this is what it says. Fear of the Lord is realizing there is no iniquity with the Lord. There is no sin. There is no wrongdoing. There's just justice and holiness and purity. There's no iniquity. And because of that, we remove and avoid all sin in our lives. The fear of the Lord is acting faithfully with a loyal heart, living with respect and reverence to God in His ways. We see this echoed in Proverbs 8:13, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and in Psalm 19:9, that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This past week in one of the devotionals, Pastor Daniel, he had the awesome Jesus. And he talked about that word awesome. You know, a lot of times we think of when something's great, it's like, that's awesome, dude, you know. But the word awesome really means dread, fear, terrified. And so it's realizing how great God is, how perfect, how holy God is, and how much we fall short of the perfection of God. It's interesting, but in the Bible, whenever God or Jesus or an angel appeared to someone, they were afraid. Many of them would they fell flat on their face. They were afraid. What would that angel say, or what would God say? Fear not. Don't be afraid. You see it with Abraham. You see it with Gideon. You see it with Mary when the angel came and said, "You're going to have the Son of God." You see it with Paul on the Damascus Road. Whenever there was an appearance of God and they stood face to face in the presence of God, they were afraid. There was a reverence there. It wasn't like, "Yo, it's the big man from upstairs. Hey, what's going on, God?" And it's not like, "Yo, JC, what's up, man? Good to see ya." There wasn't this flippant attitude. There was respect and honor and worship and reverence. And now, I grew up in a church tradition where when you came to church, you sat when you were supposed to sit, you stood when you were supposed to stand, you knelt when you were supposed to knelt, and it was very quiet, and it was reverent, and it was holy. Just because you're quiet doesn't mean you're reverent, okay? Because God does want us to experience Him. Shout to the Lord, all you peoples. Clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Lift your hands in the holy place, in the sanctuary. So worship is expressive. It's part of who we are. I think sometimes, though, as we talk about Jesus being our best friend, we can lose some of the fear of the Lord. We can lose some of the reference for God. And yes, I want to see Jesus as my best friend, that I can sit down, have a cup of tea, and just talk to Him, and that we get along great, and I pour out my heart to Him like I would my best friend or my wife. That's how Jesus wants to see Him. But there's also the fear of the Lord that we need to learn in our lives. I want you to think of it like this. If we need to fear Jesus, and that means we need to hate sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. How much do we hate sin in our life? Do we play around with it and welcome it? What would you do if you went home today and you walk up to your front steps and you saw a rattlesnake right at the door? What would you do? Some of us might run, and that's a good option. Get away from it. Some of us might say, You know, you conceal and carry, boom, you know, blow it away. Or you go to the garage and get a hoe or something. You know, someone would say, I'm going to kill it. I'm taking it out, because running away still means it's around, and it could be sliding through my grass. When I'm walking through the grass, it can get me. I want to get rid of it. What we probably wouldn't do is say, oh, hi, little snakey, snakey, and go up and try to pet the thing. You wouldn't just say, I'm going to open the door. Come on in, snake. And yet with sin, that's what we do sometimes. We open up the door, or we let it stay there, and we just look at it and entertain thoughts about it. Friends, we need to hate sin and see it as a snake that we're going to kill it, we're going to remove it, we're going to get rid of it so it can't endanger me or my family. That's the fear of the Lord, having this respect that God is holy and pure and he punishes sin, and that I hate sin as much as God hates sin. I'm supposed to imitate Jesus, aren't I? That's what Christians do. And if God hates sin, then I need to hate sin and not tolerate sin in my life. And that's learning the fear of the Lord. And here's the thing, the reason we have to learn this is because our fleshly nature tends to drift away from spirituality. It's kind of like a river. If you've ever put something on it, thrown a stick in the river, or a boat, or even put an inner, you've been in an inner tube or a raft, you get on the river and you don't have to do anything. Just the natural drift of the river will take you downstream. And if you don't want to go downstream, you've got to work and exert energy to go upstream. Friends, our sinful nature is the same way. Just being human is going to want us to drift away from God, drift away from his principles, drift away from his ways. And so we have to learn to fear God and keep that prominent in our mind. How horrible sin is, how wonderful Jesus is, how beautiful Jesus is, all that he's done for me. We talked about this morning. You think about what God has done for you. We sang about it in worship. And we don't let sin enter our lives. Learn to fear God with your life. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. My natural man wants to justify my sin, and it wants to compromise. It wants to not do what God wants me to do. And so I have to deliberately die to myself and follow Christ. So that's the first thing that we want to learn. And here's the fear of the Lord, it has many benefits. I believe this is in your notes. It is the start of learning wisdom. Who wants to be wise? Only a few of you. So the rest of you want to be fools, is that right? You want to be a fool? Raise your hand this morning. Okay, so that means you want to be wise, all right? Okay, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want wisdom, it's the fear of the Lord. It also says it prolongs our life, Proverbs 10:27. It gives us strong confidence in God, 14:26. It's a fountain of life in verse 27. And then in Proverbs 22:4, it gives riches and honor. Those are the benefits of the fear of the Lord. All right, the next thing we're to learn is we are to learn God's commands. We are to learn God's commands and his principles. Because you see, for us to learn the fear of the Lord, we need to learn about God and what he commands and the principles and judgments he set up for us in life. Because the fear of the Lord deals with our attitude. Learning God's commands influences our thoughts, which then influences our attitude. If we're not being people who are in the Word of God, learning the Word of God, we're not going to fear God. And so I need to be learning God's Word, his commands, his principles, the warnings, the exhortations, what to do, what not to do. I need to be learning them, and I need to be a person who is in God's Word. And I just want to throw this question out to all of us who are here and those watching online. How much do you learn God's Word? Is the only time you learn God's Word is 10 o'clock Sunday morning right here, whether you're in the building or whether you're online. If this is the only time we are learning the Word of God, then we are not going to be able to be strong and grow and lead others. We're not going to have the fear of the Lord. We need to be people that are into the Bible daily. Just as we die daily, we're feeding ourselves spiritual food. God's word is spiritual food to make you strong and to help you grow. I know when I was growing up, my daily devotional life was basically church, and then whenever I felt dry or in danger, okay, I've got this problem. Oh, Jesus. I got on my spiritual cell phone and called heaven 911. And I'd spend time with God and His Word when I was in danger or when I felt really dry and I couldn't make it. That was my practice. And I had to learn that I need a daily diet of God's Word to make me strong, not just when I'm dry or in danger. And I want to encourage you, maybe that's what God is speaking to you for 2022. You need to learn to be in the Word. You need to learn to spend time learning God's ways and principles and commands. If that is, I encourage you to set a time, figure out in your schedule when you can do that, and make an appointment. Just as you'd make an appointment with a doctor to go see a doctor, you need to make an appointment with the Word of God, because if you don't make appointments, it's going to get crowded out. I have an appointment with God every morning, early in the morning, to spend time with Him. And that's my appointment. And if I can't make that appointment because something, then I'll try to reschedule that appointment to another time because I need time with God. So learn God's Word. The next thing that you and I need to learn is we need to learn to hear God. We need to learn to hear God. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 in the Passion Translation says, "The Lord Yahweh has equipped me with the anointed, skillful tongue of a teacher to know how to speak a timely word to the weary." Isn't that cool? God equips us to speak a timely word to those who are struggling, those who need encouragement, those who are downtrodden. God wants to teach you and I how to help other people. He goes on to say, "Morning by morning He awakens my heart. He opens my ears to hear His voice, to be trained to teach." You and I need to learn how to hear God. As you make time and pray and spend time in the Word, don't do all the talking. I mean, that's one of the most common mistakes we as Christ followers make, is we come to Jesus kind of like with our shopping list. It's like, you know, I love Walmart's new shop online. You know, you put your list together, you drive up to the store and you get it. Some of us, we kind of treat God like Walmart online. God, I want two jars of mayonnaise, I want a loaf of bread, you know, a gallon of milk, and make a chocolate, you know, and we just lay out our list to God, and then we just want to drive up and receive it, and boom, I got it. In your time with God, take some time to be quiet and to think about what you've just read in Scripture and let God speak to you. Think about the problems that are going on in your life and say, "God, give me ideas of how to deal with those problems." Or you've got a decision to make and you know the pros and the cons, and just say, "God, guide me by Your Spirit. Give me the peace." Or help me, show me who to go to talk to about this situation. Who are some wise counselors I can gain wisdom from? There's a couple of resources there in your worship program that we've given you to hear God's voice. One is by Joyce Myers. It's a CD series. And then also a book by Bill Hybels called The Power of a Whisper. How to Hear from God by Joyce Myers and The Power of a Whisper by Bill Hybels. Those are a couple of resources to help us hear God. And they're great resources because most of us, we've never been taught how to hear God. And maybe some of us this morning, you'd say, "That's what I need. I need to know how to hear God." Okay, let's go on. Let's look at the next thing that we need to learn. We need to learn to do good. We need to learn to do good. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." And Paul said to Titus in chapter 3, verse 14 of his letter to him, he said, "Let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." You see, being a follower of Jesus isn't just about what we learn, but it's about taking that knowledge and it's doing. It's about not just having the head of God, the mind of God, but it's being the hand and the heart of God extended to those around us. God doesn't want us just to be smart Christians. God just doesn't want you and I to have a vibrant spiritual life. He wants us to do good to other people. And you say, well, what good do I do? As you get in God's presence and you learn to listen to His voice, He'll show you who to call. He'll show you who to text. He'll show you who to send a card to. He'll show you who to take a meal to. He'll show you what to do, the good works you do to help other people. Learn to do good works. Another thing that we are to learn, and this is a tough one, all right? Learn contentment. Learn contentment. The Apostle Paul talked about this in his letter to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Friends, our flesh is never satisfied. It's always going to want more. We need to learn contentment. Socrates said, he who is not contented with what he has would not be contented with what he would like to have. And Dale Carnegie, in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, said, it isn't what you have or who you are or where you are or what you're doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It's what you think about it. See, contentment is not a status of your condition. It's a status of your mind and your heart. And then that great theologian, Oprah Winfrey, no. She says, she has some good wisdom here. She says, be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. That is so true. If you concentrate on, I don't have this, I don't have that, don't have that, you're not going to be satisfied with what you have, and you will be miserable. Contentment is a treasure and brings joy to life. I've never met anyone who is joyful and discontent at the same time. So if you want joy, learn contentment. The last thing that Scripture talks about us learning this morning is learning practical skills and wisdom. Learning practical skills and wisdom. Acts 7:22 talks about Moses. It says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses was a baby Israelite thrown in the river by his parents to save him from Pharaoh's edict to kill all Israelite boys. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river, sees this little guy crying in a basket floating on the water, and she has her servant girl rescue Moses, and she adopts him and brings him up in her house, and this baby of Israel is becoming a prince of Egypt. Can you imagine the kind of training that royalty in Egypt would have? Probably economics and business, trade, maybe the sciences, mathematics, leadership, dealing with conflict, speaking. It says Moses was eloquent in speech. I mean, Moses gained all of these skills and this education, and God said, I'm taking these things that you have learned to now be the leader of my nation, to lead them out of slavery and lead them into the promised land. God wants to take the practical skills you and I have and that we learn and use them for His kingdom. And this morning, what do you need to learn? Maybe you'd say, I need to be more responsive to my spouse's needs. I need to be a better parent. I need to learn how to lead family devotions. My son or daughter is approaching those years when you talk about the birds and the bees, and I need to learn how to talk about sexual purity with them. How many have been there or done that? Isn't that a fun thing to learn? Some of you might be saying, I need to learn how to resolve conflict or become emotionally healthy. I'm not an emotionally healthy person. Some might say, I need to handle finances. I need to learn how to manage my money. Or I need to learn how to share the gospel. If someone came to me and they want to know how to receive Christ, I really don't know what I'd say. Some of you are maybe struggling in your spiritual life. You feel like you don't know how to pray or don't know how to get something out of the Word of God. Friends, you need to learn. And here's the thing. We're not going to leave you helpless in that. On the back table on your way out, we have this guide. It's called Resources for Learning. And we give you resources. These are resources I've used in my own life for hearing God, for prayer, Bible study, fasting, relationships, leadership, emotions, finance, evangelism, marriage. And on the back, we give you resources for parenting, discussing sexual purity with your kids, and then a ton of resources on leading devotions, things that you can use. And my prayer is today is that as God has been speaking to you about what you learn, you'll take this guide and say, God, show me what I need to learn this year to grow. Friends, Jesus loves us. He says in Matthew 10, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and learn from me and find rest for your souls. What are the things that you need to learn so you can have rest in your soul, so you can have the rich life God wants you to have? Is it the fear of the Lord? Is it His commands and His principles? Maybe it's contentment. Maybe it's hearing God, learning how to do good, or maybe it's a practical skill. I pray that you choose that 2022 will be a year of learning and growth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you give us rest for our souls. I know a lot of us need rest. You tell us to do that. We need to learn from you. So I pray right now that you will show us what you want to teach us. And God, give us teachable hearts. Forgive us for being resistant and rebellious. God, I pray that you'll give us the power to press into what you want us to learn, and we yield to your leadership so we can lead ourselves and others.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.